That's where it started. 60 seconds of jogging.
Okay, so 60 seconds of jogging. How did that 60 seconds evolve into half marathons, marathons, anything else?
Ultra marathons. I've done 250Ks. I'm signed up for a third.
Welcome to another episode of Happy Brain. My name is Sean Block, and thank you for joining us as we explore the fun side to mental health by digging into those fun hacks and fun tips to make your mental health journey more enjoyable and your brain a little happier. Welcome back to Happy Brain. My name is Sean Block. Thank you so much for joining us today. I have an amazing conversation with Nita Sweeney, and she is going to tie together a couple things that we talk about a lot on the show. One is movement, exercise, and the other is meditation. Nita is a well-published author. She's got three books, including Depression is a Moving Target. And her latest book we talk about is Make Every Move a Meditation. And you'll see how those two things combine. So sit back, enjoy, and make your brain a little happier. So welcome. I have Nita Sweeney here on the Happy Brain. I'm so excited to talk to you.
This is going to be fun. Happy Brain is such a great title for a podcast and great content.
Yes. We're going to try to take some of our learnings that we've learned in other episodes and other things in Happy Brain. And you're going to see, we might be able to pull some of those together today. So, Nita, I just wanted to start off with your journey on how you even got started. Let's with your exercise journey and what started that for you.
Well, I just to say, never thought of myself as an athletic person at all. And then I had a period of time where a whole bunch of loved ones died, and I suffer from chronic depression. I'm bipolar, but it usually manifests as depression. And one day in my misery, quite frankly, I was sitting on the sofa. There may have been bonbons. I don't remember, but I was scrolling through social media and a high school friend, same shape, same age, non-athletic sameness, posted, "Call me crazy, but this running is getting to be fun." And I thought that was probably the most ridiculous thing I'd ever heard someone I knew say. And so it took me a while, but eventually I looked up the training plan she was following because she continued and I watched, you know, quietly, cheering her on quietly. And the training plan said 60 seconds of jogging. And if it had said 90 seconds of jogging, or even if it had like said a minute, maybe, I'm not sure, but there was something about 60 seconds of jogging that just seemed doable, seemed possible for someone who was barely, you know, making it through the day. And I tried everything else. I was on meds, still am, see a therapist, still do. Meditate, still do. We'll talk about that in a minute. I had a writing practice, good family, lovely husband, dog. You know, I had all the like other things, but I hadn't really tried exercise. And so I did. And there's a whole long story about that. I wrote a book about it, but it changed so much. It changed my mood. It changed my energy level. I was able to reduce the number of meds that I was on. I still adore my therapist, so I see her often, but I probably don't have to see her as much as I do. It just changed everything. So yeah, that's where it started. 60 seconds of jogging.
Okay. So 60 seconds of jogging. How did that 60 seconds evolve into half marathons, marathons, anything else?
Ultra marathons. I've done 250Ks. I'm signed up for a third. We'll see.
Now, I don't want to talk about where you are in age wise, but would you say you're a little bit on the other side of 30?
Oh yeah. No, I was 48.
48.
And that was what, 12 years ago? I don't know. I'm 61. I'll say it. I am not ashamed of my age at all. No, I'm proud of it because I mean, I'm 61. But the thing is that I am hanging around with 50, 60 and 70 year olds who are running ridiculously long distances and having a blast. And that's another thing we could talk about as community, but we could probably talk about that. That's like a whole nother thing.
Well, I want to talk about so many things with you, but like as far as the running, without getting totally into the training plan, how did you go from 60 seconds? What were some of the tips you can share with us on how you got to even your first maybe 5K or something like that?
Right. Well, like, remember to get you about the 5K, because that was never supposed to happen. I was never going to leave the secluded ravine where I had walked my dog down so that no one could see, but I'll explain that in a minute. So the training plan eases you into it, and any good training plan does that. They have you have a success, and then you repeat that a few times until it's comfortable, and then you up the ante a little bit. And then you do that a few weeks, and then you have a fallback so that everything is still comfortable. And that's the way it was. So it was 60 seconds of jogging, and then it was like a few minutes of walking, and then 60 more seconds of jogging, and just very gradually that plan. And I like a training plan. Not everybody does, but the structure, it's a couple things. One, knowing that somebody who knows what they're doing is making these suggestions. And that's for me. Not everybody likes that. And then having somebody already have made the decision for me, because I can suffer from decision fatigue. People with mental health challenges can often have that. Yeah. And so having somebody, you know, it's why, what was it? Steve Jobs always wore the same black shirt or something. It's a, you don't have to decide. And so a training plan can help with that. And that's what it happened. And then eventually how we got to the 5K, because I got to the point that I could, the training plan is, it suggests that at some point you can run three miles in 30 minutes. I will never be that. I'm not a 10 minute miler. I'm much slower than that. Way back a pack. Don't care. Don't apologize for it at all. But I got to the point that I could do a couple miles. And one of the people who had died in the years before this all happened, when I was in the midst of the grief, was my sister's only child, her 24-year-old daughter, Jamie. And she had died of cancer. And so for a while when I started running, I didn't tell anybody because I was afraid it was going to be, you know, like the exercise bike and the mini trampoline and all the classes I take, the things that I became, clothing racks in the basement and, you know, things I'd get excited about. I was afraid it could be like that. So I really didn't tell anybody. Eventually I told my sister. And after, I don't know how long it was, of me running mostly in the secluded ravine or in my neighborhood, just very clandestine because I was so afraid that people would laugh at me. I have paranoia is one of my diagnoses, and it's true. She emailed me and she said, "Oh, Nita, there's this race that raises money for research for the type of cancer that Jamie died from." And this is still embarrassing to me, but my immediate response was, "Oh, no, 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 no. You don't understand. I'm a private runner. We do not do this in public. This is not for anyone to see." And that could have been the end of it. But, you know, then I kind of got over myself and I remembered the suffering of my knees. And so I went to this 5K, and several of my family members went, a couple friends went. It was, you know, a big deal for me, it was a big deal for all of us. And it just blew my conception, my preconceived notions of what a runner is, blew it wide open. People of all ages, all shapes, all sizes, some in spandex, some in cotton, you know, unicorn hats, serious ball caps, everything in between. And the kind of the joy of raising money for a good cause, and just that whole combination of the camaraderie, people cheering each other on, it just completely opened up a world. And so that's how I started racing or running, you know, running races, you know.
So running was I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I just want to say my running partner is actually trying to get out of the room I'm in right now. So if we hear a little noise, that's her. I probably should have put her out, but that's Scarlett. Anyway, go ahead. Yeah.
No. So, do you have a beautiful dog there next to you?
Well, she's over there, and it's turning my camera around would be really weird, but she's like, anyway, it doesn't matter.
And she was your running partner too?
Yeah. Yeah. She's a yellow lab. I talked about in the first book, Depression Hates a Moving Target, my running partner Morgan did the whole training plan with me. He started running. And then when he went to the Great Dog Park in the Sky at, I don't know, he was like 15, he was a yellow lab, that's very, very generous age for a yellow lab.
Nita, you were just saying exercise is something you added to your toolkit, right? You said you were already doing meditation. journaling, you mentioned writing. Mm-hmm. So why, so now you have exercise, you're trying to round out your toolkit. How did exercise then fit into your daily life? Because it takes a lot of time to exercise and meditate and all that stuff. So how did you get to incorporate exercise time-wise?
Well, I didn't have, I don't have a day job because partly because I have enough mental health difficulties that I can't hold one. I don't know how else to say it. And so that's, you know, I say that up front because for a lot of people, it is a problem, but I know tons of people who have full-time jobs and kids and still train for these things. So for me, it was about just following the training plan. And, you know, I don't run every day. And so I tend to, on days when I'm doing a lot of writing, I might do a much shorter run. So longer runs would be on the weekends when I'm probably, you know, not going to write. I might not be writing. But yeah, it's that's like so individual. For me, it was pretty easy because I kind of became really obsessed with running and I was still writing, but I didn't have a lot of demands. I don't have children either, which is another thing. But again, I know people who have lots of children and run all the time. So I just think it's the kind of thing where you have to figure it out with your schedule. And for me, it helps to get it done earlier in the day so that I'm not sitting around thinking about it all day. And it also helps if I have that structure so that the training plan is just telling me, oh, it's Wednesday, you do 3 miles, or oh, it's Wednesday, you know, you're taking the day off, whatever that is. And so it wasn't the kind of, it's funny because I didn't give that a lot of thought. I just did it because I so quickly started feeling the benefits that I wanted to do it. And then the other thing that happened, which is actually part of how the new book came out, is that I realized pretty quickly that I could meditate while I was running. And that I still do sitting meditation. Ideally, everybody would do sitting meditation and do a movement form and, you know, do it all together. But I was able to combine those two. And that's the thing that probably made a big difference for me.
What does that look like, Nita? What does that look like combining two?
Yeah, it's about taking the same technique of meditation, but the posture instead of sitting is moving. And I've had a lot of people say, oh, I can barely exercise. How can I possibly do both? Well, you're probably already doing both at some point in the meditation practice. And so, because meditation is a natural mind state. So what I'm trying to help people do is do it on purpose. So it's about choosing where you're going to place your focus, because the point of meditation is for your mind to be where your body is. Keep your head where your feet are. And so for me, for running, for example, I often have sensations in my left foot. I have a little congenital defect in my left ankle, and I just have more sensations in my left foot than my right. It's not harmful at all. And so those are already there. So sometimes during the run, I'll say, all right, for the next half a mile, I'm just going to focus on those sensations. And when my mind wanders, which it will, the mind's job is to think thoughts, so it will wander. I very gently, once I remember, oh yes, we're meditating, very gently bring my mind back, just curiosity, really, and an allowingness. That's the other part of meditation that I think gets confused sometimes, is there's this sense of accepting what is, learning in a container, a safe container, to accept something that's really not problematic, so that when life brings us things that are, we've already developed that ability of acceptance, because we can't take action until we have that acceptance piece. And then that's what it looks like, just returning and returning. And I can use body sensations, I can use my breath, I can use an object I'm seeing, like a color green, I can use sound, bird songs maybe, or even traffic. I can use a scent, a lilacs in the spring, you know, anything like that. Any of your five senses. And you can also use thoughts, but it's a little trickier.
So does that, how you've been able to like run these extreme distances? I mean, do you get into a state where you're not even, because I try to run and I'm thinking how hard it is, you know, when I'm running. Do you use that to kind of ease through the miles, or not ease through the miles, but just kind of help the miles just go by?
Yeah, sort of, but it's not by escaping from them. Yeah. It's by escaping into them. Mm. So we kind of always have two choices. We can turn away from experience, which is often effective. We can reframe, we can hear our favorite music, we can, you know. But when you're running crazy long distances, at some point that stops working. And that's when you learn to turn toward. So you're totally in whatever's happening to the point that it's all there is what's actually happening. There's no, you know, time is slows way down because there's only this moment. And what we find is that when you have practiced being with unpleasantness or joy, you can do it with pleasantness too. But when you practice being with it in situations that, you know, standing in the grocery line when you're bored and not pulling out your phone, just being bored. What is boredom? And also some physical pain, because at long distances, you will ache, you will have pains. And so that practice allows me to be present when things do get tough. But it's not like I'm zoning out. I mean, I try to zone out for a while. I'll tell myself jokes or sing little songs in my head. Or I tend to not listen to music because I've almost gotten hit by cars too many times. And so I'm just a little weird about that. But you know, if you have music, listen to your music for a while. But then at some point I have to turn back in. And I don't know, you know, it's part of my personality is that I'm very curious about processes. And so things like boredom, unpleasantness, joy, confusion, all those things that are kind of mind states, I find them fascinating. And with meditation, that's what that is. That's becoming curious about what's going on in your mind and body in the moment, in this moment. So that's, yeah. So I guess that's a long, long answer to a short question is yes.
That's fascinating. And just real quickly, like the difference between your sitting meditation and your running meditation, is it, I mean, are they?
It's just that you're moving. That's it. Having your body still will help still your mind. But focus of any kind can do the same thing. And so even though your body is moving, if you keep your mind, bring your mind back to one thing, there is a stillness in that. And so what we're doing is creating conditions for allowing the mind to calm down. We can't calm our minds. We actually can't. We create conditions that help the mind to calm on its own, to help the thoughts to slow on our own. So to me, the only difference in this type of movement meditation is the posture.
Oh, we just have a different posture.
Wow. Yeah, it's just the posture. That's it. That's what's different. Because the philosophy and the technique, other than the posture, in the way I do it is the same. And it's, you know, mostly it's called mindfulness meditation or insight meditation.
It just struck me just as you're talking that I have an app that I've been using on running. And one of the running guided runnings is called mindful running. I just connected that just as you're talking. That's I remember.
It. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And they talk you through being aware, like, you know, your foot strike and, you know, feeling that foot strike and all this stuff.
I told you. There's a chapter in the book called, well, it might be a section. I'm sure, not sure if it merited a whole chapter, but it's called You Might Already Be Doing It.
That is absolutely amazing. Can you just remind us the title of your book? And I'm going to put everything in the show notes, but it's amazing.
So the book that is about meditation is called Make Every Move a Meditation, Mindful Movement for Mental Health, Well-Being, and Insight.
Mm.
And the first book is Depression Hates a Moving Target. That's where it all started. That's like a running and mental health memoir with some tips thrown in, but it's sort of my story of how I ran my first marathon. So some people use it as a training plan, which is kind of fun.
And let me ask you this. So you're doing all these things. Were they stumbling blocks? You're doing all your miles, you're getting to a point, you're doing your meditation, but was there any stumbling blocks or any things that you had to kind of reset to kind of keep going? Cause it must get tiring doing all that over and over.
Yeah, well, the biggest thing was that I had this congenital ankle defect. And so when I first started exercising, my ankle would swell up like a balloon. I mean, it would be like the size of a softball. And so I had already experienced this kind of emotional benefit from running. And then I started thinking, oh my gosh, I'm damaging my body. And I would go to doctors, just one really, who said he wanted to fuse my ankle. And I just, it just was just like this gut reaction of no, no, let's do something else. And so, you know, I don't have any science as to why this is true. And so I can't say everybody should do this, but I just slowed down, focused on my form, and got really good shoes. And eventually it was like my ankle got used to being moved in that way. And it hasn't swelled in years.
Well, I really appreciate talking to you. And you helped me connect a lot of dots today that I didn't even realize that I had.
That's so exciting that you're already doing that.
As we kind of wrap up, is there anything else that you wanted to share with us?
Oh, you know, the thing I have been saying lately to people, and this is, you know, we've been kind of happy and joyous, but I just want to say, if you're thinking of leaving, please stay, please stay, because it might be really hard right now, but it will change. It will change. And, you know, I've had my own darkness. And I'm so glad I stayed. I'm just so grateful. So please stay. Please, please, please stay.
You know, and I really appreciate you saying that. This is, we try to have the lighter side of mental health, but
yep,
mental health is a very serious subject. And a lot of people listen because they've had big challenges. And so we're trying to bring some lightness in to kind of get us to be able to do some, use some of these tools. And you really helped us kind of add to our toolkit, which what you really did for me is you helped combine a couple tools. You helped combine meditation, movement into one thing. And that's amazing. So thank you so much.
Thanks for saying that, because that's kind of my mission right now, is to make it accessible, make meditation accessible, and to keep people moving, because that combination is like, it's just like dynamite. It's, for me, it's been great. So yeah, I'm so glad. Yay. Thank you. Thanks, Sean.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Happy Brain. If you enjoyed this, make sure you hit that subscribe button wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you have an extra second, leave us an honest review over on iTunes or your Apple podcasting app. And until next time, my friends, keep that brain of yours happy.